After a quarter century of regular standardized testing in Massachusetts schools, some educators are imagining a world beyond the MCAS student achievement test.
Massachusetts is being left behind. More and more states are recognizing the vast limitations of standardized testing and its inability to move the needle around equity in particular.
That is Dan French. He's director of the Center for Collaborative Education, a group assisting school districts and states experimenting with new types of student assessments away from filling in the bubbles with number two pencils. It includes six communities in Massachusetts. Today, as we wrap our week-long Edify series called Pass-Fail, Evaluating 25 Years of Education Reform, WBUR's Carrie Young and Max Larkin explore life beyond the MCAS.
So, Carrie, we're going to wrap up this series around a tiny, shaky table.
That sounds kind of sinister, Max. Where was said table?
This is at the Curly K-8 school in Jamaica Plain. Imagine a classroom full of fifth graders working together in teams, building scale models of 21st century buildings, classrooms, libraries, science labs. The teams have divvied up the work.
There's people who work on technology, people who are inventor something.
That's fifth grader Charlotte Groth. Charlotte says this project began with research, online and in person. Students have to write a report, and then they get down to brass tacks.
First we do a blueprint, then we do the math with that, and now we're on the model.
Oh, that's where the little table comes in.
Right on cue. So the kids have done weeks and weeks of work to get up to this point, but now the table, which is made out of felt and toothpicks, it won't stand up.
They thought about how if they stuck something through, it would stick on, but now we're having a little problem again that they're wobbly.
Their teacher, Danielle Moran, is going from table to table, helping the kids solve problems in real time.
And that little table might actually be the sign of a big change. These kids are being graded. They're still in the pilot phase, but eventually their scores will be published, just like MCAS scores. The research and writing, that's STEM, and reading comprehension. The blueprints and diagrams are math. It's a comprehensive assessment.
But for Zoe Gillespie, another student, it doesn't feel like one.
Normal classes that we learn new things, but this is like learning but with a bit of more fun into it.
Fun ends up being something of a key word here, Carrie.
So this is actually happening in a consortium of six very different school districts. Revere, Lowell, Boston, Somerville, Winchester, and Attleboro. And the idea is that this kind of exercise can show just as much, if not more, about what students are learning as a standardized test can. And after all of our focus on MCAS this week, it seems kind of like a radical idea.
This actually may be more in line with the original goals of the 93 Ed Reform bill we've been looking at all week.
The law does not call for a standardized test.
Monty Neal is an anti-standardized test crusader. He runs a national organization called Fair Test.
It calls for assessing students, it calls for competency determination in high school, and those can be done with other kinds of instruments.
Actually, the 1993 law specifically asks that students be judged by work samples, projects, portfolios, performances, as much as possible, really.
And that's the kind of thing that's happening now at the Curly School.
It raises a question, though, of how the MCAS came to loom so large in Massachusetts.
And the answer to that question depends on where you sit. Monty Neal has his pet theory.
And then there was what we refer to as a coup.
That was in 1996, when Governor William Weld appointed John Silber to chair a brand new state board of education.
Silber was a devout believer in standardized tests. And a few years later, the nation follows Massachusetts' lead with No Child Left Behind, which required standardized testing from grades 3 to grade 8.
But Massachusetts Secretary of Education Jim Pizer says that's no accident. It's because standardized tests work.
I'm not sensing any real backtracking on the basic components of standards-based reform, of ensuring high-quality standards, rigorous assessments, and accountability for results. I think that basic foundation is still present and still highly supported.
At the center of that foundation is the MCAS. It's streamlined, it's standardized, it's mostly graded by computers. These new performance-based assessments are graded by panels of teachers, and teachers, like all people, can be subjective.
But during the MCAS era, we haven't closed or even really narrowed these achievement gaps.
I'm not sure why one would choose to continue banging your head against the wall when you haven't made a dent in the wall itself.
That's Dan French again with the Center for Collaborative Education. That's the group behind some of these performance-based experiments here in Massachusetts as well as in New Hampshire.
And so far, students with disabilities have posted higher scores. Other groups, too, may do a bit better on these assessments rather than on high-stakes bubble tests.
As to why that would be, it comes back in part to the fun question. Again, Dan French.
You actually engage kids in learning in ways that excite them. You are going to reach a whole lot more students.
Kind of like the approach the teacher in Hull, Deb McCarthy, was talking about in yesterday's story. She used to have her kids do skits rather than take quizzes, partly because it was fun and partly because she thought it brought the material to life.
It's a tricky idea, though. Change the way you measure what students are learning, and you may find that they start to learn different things.
But top education officials aren't at all ready to make the switch. This project-based experiment has had to fight for state funding. And Jim Pizer emphasizes we're clearly at an early experimental stage in all of this.
I'm very interested in all these experiments to determine whether there's a reliable, valid, cost-effective way to assess student learning. But as we're experimenting with some other methods, I think we need to stick with what we know works and what we know is reliable.
So we're not moving away from the MCAS, at least not yet.
Dan French, the guy who does want to disrupt the MCAS regime, used to work for the state's Department of Education back when ed reform first came in. And he says he knows why today's officials are reluctant to make big changes.
They're terrified of losing their number one status, even if it means serving your kids better.
A WBUR poll released this week found evidence that, indeed, parents feel their kids could be better served, despite that number one national ranking.
54% of voters say schools need changes.
Only 21% say schools here are either functioning well or have few problems. And 17% favor a major overhaul.
But figuring out what and how to change is the challenge. And as we've seen all week, any change can bring lots of unintended consequences. Thanks for listening. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Carrie Young.
And I'm Max Larkin.